And welcome, and today we continue our recent series, Lent series, on calling and calling. We're today looking at the aspect of called as a community. By chance, maybe, that today it might turn to talk again. But I'm quite delighted when I saw the head of today's community. It feels like I could go on for hours on this topic. You'll be glad to know in good time and condition. I'll leave myself to a spot slightly shorter. Community. It's an interesting word, I think, and you hear it bandied about a lot these days. We have schools and community. Fire stations and community fire stations. I often wonder what the difference is between the two. I know what I'd like it to be, but I suspect it's rarely the case in actual practice. We have care in the community. Community clubs, community centres. You know, we even have a community minister within the government. Those MPs and Secretary of State for housing, communities and local government. In many third world countries, the reference to a gated community is not unusual, even if this situation is more about keeping people out rather than the Christian kingdom lens of welcoming people in. In our own parish, St. Thomas's in particular, the first themselves regularly as St. Thomas's community, the monastic style community within the parish. But can we as a congregation, as we know, commonly refer to ourselves as a more traditional community? We refer to the community? I would suggest so. And the word place would be a gathering place. Could that potentially be replaced by the word community? Certainly some hallmarks of community would be both, I would suggest. The Oxford Dictionary defines community as a body of people who live in the same place. Usually sharing a common cultural ethnic identity or with a common characteristic, living together within a larger society. A definition which, whilst in part I hold true with, and can be clearly used and identifiable, such as maybe when talking about LGBT community or Roma or Gypsy community, for example. But I would suggest in this case, Oxford Dictionary, as good as they are, have not fully captured the full essence or true potential of community. So I turn to what others may have famously said about this. And there's a few. Not all the names I know. But Margaret Wheatley said, there is no power to change greater than the community discovering what it cares about. A Coretta Scott King said that the greatness of the community most accurately measured by the compassionate actions of its members. Helen Keller described it as, alone we can do little, but together we can do so much. Mother Teresa said that I said about community. I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the water to create many ripples. Finally, George Bernard Shaw said, I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community. And as long as I live, it is my privilege to do whatever I can. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die, for the harder I work, the more I live. Clearly ignoring the final few words of Bernard Shaw's statement about working harder, to view that everything we receive from God is all about his grace rather than our own effort. There is clearly something about the word community that invokes reaction and calls people to say something. And within many of these statements, I would suggest there are two common themes among them. The ability to do more good and have a positive impact together, rather than individually or on our own. And the importance of care and compassion between its members. How much the real positive existence of that says about how real and relevant a community is. Whatever that community is, we are examining, including ourselves. Maybe in these statements we have our first two hallmarks of community, which is less about who we are in terms of physical or cultural identity, nationality, language, or even Christian denomination, dare I say. Whilst acknowledging these are often a part too, not necessarily important in terms of communication, shared rituals and how communication is done. What I would suggest, real community, is more about what we are and what we are and do and demonstrate and care and share with and for each other. So I'll use the God kids analogy again. And if Andy's not back soon, I almost feel that you might know him almost as much as I do. But there is a bond there that has no expectations or conditions attached. Just a real warmth and relationship to be happy around each other. With only additional added commitment from my end to be adult in that relationship, to be around for them no matter what. I have a book, which I must confess, I've only part read, as with lots of other books I've stacked at home. Not being someone that necessarily finds it easy to sit still. Or often see something else to attend to. But which I thought I would have scanned reading as part of preparing this talk. It's called 100 Proven Ways to Transform Your Community, written by Stephen Chalk and Anthony Watkins. And at some point it was patented by Andy, I believe, so it must be a good thing. In this book it covers a range of challenging issues which often affect and blight many of our communities up and down the country, which we can often see in our own immediate community, I'm sure, outside this building. And even at times when they personally relate to ourselves. For example, health, drugs, prostitution, homelessness, lack of opportunity for our children and youth. And then we wonder why often in many cases they put their energies into less productive things. Family breakdown, employment, or in many cases the lack of such, with many thousands of living up and down the country represented by 0 hours contract. But affordable housing, or again the lack of it in many cases, with all the health and mental consequences that can bring as a result. The environment and the feeling of community. In the foreword to this book by Jackie Pullinger, before going out to set lots of good ideas and encouraging examples of where Christian faith-based activities are being undertaken up and down the country, and the poor and needy are being touched by God's heart, it makes the opening point that it seems that less of the world increasingly has more of the world's riches. And more of the world has less and less. Surely this cannot be right. But also, sadly, goes on to point out that some, but not all, and I'm proud to say this parish of espouse the gospel of faith, but which for some reason has avoided practical involvement with the poor of the world around. Thinking, I guess, that either such issues are not their problem, and therefore neither is any action or their required or their responsibility. Or maybe just being blindly ignorant, thinking that everyone around them is all right. Or as often the case, generally society, that it's the government's or somebody else's job. And part of it claims it has a role, and the choices and the funds it wishes transform its community and therefore lives is important. That suggests that it's not their absolute role alone. Not one of our readings today, but I would like to read some additional verses, if you don't mind. Bear with me from the book of James. In chapter 2, it goes on to say, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters? If a man claims to have faith but has no deeds, and such faith save him, suppose a brother or sister was without clothes and daily food. If one of you said to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, not accompanied by action, is death. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have food.' show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good, but even the devil, even the demons believe that. I'm sure that. You foolish man, do you want evidence of faith without deeds, which you see? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did, and when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did, and the scriptures were fulfilled. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's son. You see that person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to spies and sent them off in a different direction? As a body without spirit is dead, so faith without seeds is dead. What does that have to do with community? Well, just as they believe James is writing to the Jewish Christians, and all Gentiles who were not once attracted to Judaism, but now become Christians. Maybe here is the hallmark of the community, or at least the positive one, and one of the Christian foundations, where faith and works in action come together. In the long tradition of much of the rest of the Bible, that talks of loving your neighbour and our enemies, even those that may almost see. In the same way, we may tell our kids, for those that have them or have her, that teeth do not take care of themselves. Maybe communities too are about the investing of time and effort according to the health, financial and time commitments that we have. And do not just magically take care of themselves or through the pumping in of cash alone. So turn to our readings today. In Psalm 130, verse 5, we have the line, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. In verse 7 it says, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is redemption. Oh, how many of our communities, including the very one around of our own churches, Petri and Rose Hill, made up of its context, challenging and different international viewpoints, races, sexual orientation, single people, old people, young people, etc. How they may be in need of a message of hope in their lives. Both yes in salvation, life everlasting, but also here and now in the making of a positive difference to their lives. If the Christians around amongst them are not really able to do that in part, then who is? Then in our gospel reading of John's day, how nervous, unsettled, afraid, or even confused, I think the disciples must have been, with Jesus only talking and being with them a little longer, after having spent so much time with them, presumably come to mean so much to them. In verse 33, you will look for me, just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. We don't know, but I can imagine that all must have come as a bit of a bombshell to them. In verse 34, he then goes on to give them an instruction to love one another. And then the opening verse to chapter 14, we read today. Jesus goes on to comfort his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled, for I'm going to prepare a place for you. And in the words of both John and Arnold Schwarzenegger, I will be back. It seems to me that here we have my final point that I'd like to make today about community. Whilst mortar, nice houses, loaves, leafy trees, etc. are all nice, and doing themselves makes heart for community. There to be a community, there must be a real deep sense of love and trust between those in it. But to really be one. And as Christians, seeing we are called to show that love to others around us, believers and non-believers. How we are called to be a community then, for sure, is not just about some hollow title or strapline, as well intentional as all those things will often be. And good to be supported. But for me, the Bible tells us that internally ourselves is about. But for me, the Bible also tells us that internally ourselves is about the love, care, compassion, relationship, and trust we have with and for each other. As well, of course, having a shared belief in a firm core foundation of our faith. Make a sign as part of our community. For me, those seem the basic hallmarks of community, and what the Bible and Jesus teaches us as a Christian community. So much of its teachings in all the various parables. Secondly, for the world, a shared belief in something, and looking after the well-being of its members could almost be enough. And don't get me wrong, this has existed in places in the world, and in our country, more than it does. This alone would make the world far better place. But as Christians, it seems that we're also called to go one step further in the phrase called to community. It's not merely about love for and within our own community, as important as that is. But if we are a community, a real Christian community, that's something identifiable and integrally real and different about it. And it's able to offer the world badly needed hope in all sorts of situations. Then we also need to show God's love to those communities around us in our midst, outside these doors on Sunday morning, either individually in our own lives, or corporately as a community. This is our parish vision tries to capture. There's an old film in the book that some of you may know, may have seen all of it, called To Kill a Mockingbird. The basic theme of the story, for those who do not know it, is both of the young girl's coming of age and a darker drama about the roots and consequences of racism and prejudice in 1930s America, proving how good and evil can coexist within a single community or individual. Ultimately, it is a story of humanity and the need for courage and justice in society. Today, just as much in 1930s America. Again, it seems to me that being called to community is very much about privilege and justice. And it's at the heart of our parish vision of being a father to the father, to defend the widow, and putting the lonely in family. As our hymns tell us today, bind us together as a community ourselves. And the response by everyone to the events of last year is a clear testament to that. But there's also been a community that's founded on love and hope. And a love that hope that others can hopefully see and feel when coming in. But also individually and corporately, we're able to pass on.